From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Today's episode is brought to you by Canva. We're all looking for ways to make an impact at work, but not all of us are skilled in visual design. Canva helps you get your point across, simply and beautifully. It's easy to design Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos. You start with a designer-made template and customize it with your content. Plus, add graphics, charts, and more from Canva's massive media library. Whatever department you work in, Canva is perfect for any task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
This episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hears from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Brain Stuff from How Stuff Works.
Brain Stuff, it's Christian Sager, and I have a deeply concerning question for you today. What happens when I die? And I don't mean, like, will I go to heaven or who gets all of my comic books? No, I want to know what someone's going to do with my dead body when it's on a slab of cold steel. How does an autopsy work? Well, first of all, a word of warning for our listeners. If you're squeamish, you might want to listen to, I don't know, a less gross episode of Brain Stuff, like, why is bird poop white? Or, how do bed bugs work? Okay, are you ready now? Let's start by clarifying that an autopsy is a medical examination of a dead body to determine the cause of death. And there's two types, forensic and clinical. Clinical ones are performed for research, medical training, or at the request of the deceased family. And forensic autopsies are the ones you're used to seeing on TV, like when Agent Scully carves into a corpse because the truth is in there. This is often for legal reasons, potentially as evidence in criminal or civil court cases. While the general procedure is similar, for our purposes, let's stick to forensic autopsies. All legally investigated deaths fall into five categories: natural, accident, homicide, suicide, and undetermined. Yeah, that last one may seem a little wishy-washy, but sometimes the answers aren't that clear for the attending medical examiner or coroner. And this is an important distinction. Forensic pathologists are physicians trained to perform autopsies. Here in the United States, most local governments mandate that an appointed pathologist called a medical examiner perform an autopsy. But not all. In some counties, they use coroners instead of medical examiners. And a coroner doesn't necessarily have to have medical training. Instead, they're elected to their position, and they can be anyone. They could be farmers, snake handlers, even podcast hosts, I guess, but if a non-medical coroner ever needs assistance, the state usually provides them with a medical examiner. When that examiner finally gets a hold of your cold body, here's what they're going to do to it. First, they gather information on you, your death, and your medical records. Then they record an external exam of your appearance. They start by photographing you inside a body bag, noting your clothing and its position before stripping you naked. They try to establish your identity, noting ethnicity, gender, age, and hair and eye color. Then they collect samples of hair, fingernails, and any foreign objects found on your surface. Sometimes they use UV radiation or X-rays to find further evidence. Once the external exam is done, they clean your body, weigh it, and measure it. On the table, they place a rubber body block under your back to make your chest protrude forward so the arms and neck fall back. This makes it easier for the cutting. For a complete internal exam, they start with the chest, making a Y-shaped incision. Following this, they peel back your skin, muscle, and soft tissue with a scalpel, pull the chest flap over your face, and expose your rib cage and neck muscles. Your rib cage is then removed, followed by your larynx, esophagus, arteries, and ligaments. By severing a few attachments to your spinal cord, bladder, and rectum, the examiner can remove the rest of your organs as an entire set. Your organs are each examined and weighed, with sample slices taken of their tissue. If necessary, these organs are stored in formalin. The examiner will also take your urine, blood, bile, and the vitreous gel from your eyes for further testing. Depending on how you died, they probably won't cut open your arms, hands, legs, or your face. But don't think your head is off the hook just yet. If they need a peek inside your noggin, the examiner will move the rubber block under your neck like a pillow. Then they will make a cut from behind one ear, across your forehead, over to the other ear, and around the back. Once this is divided, they can remove your scalp from your skull in two flaps, folding one over your face and the other over the back of your neck. Then out comes the electric saw to pop the top of your skull off like a cap and expose your brain. This is severed from your spinal cord and tentorum and then lifted out Frankenstein style. Just like your other organs, it's weighed and examined. Well, what happens to all of these organs sitting outside of your body anyways? Well, depending on the style of funeral, they're either put back in or they're incinerated. Either way, the butterfly chest flaps are closed, the skull cap is placed back on your head, and everything is sewn up nice and tidy with a baseball stitch. Though, even after your body goes off to the funeral home, a pathologist's work is never done. It takes days to get tissue and blood samples tested, and at least 2 weeks for brain samples. Then it takes hours more to write up a detailed report for the official record. Now, keep in mind that this is a brief overview of the autopsy process. We didn't even get into examining wounds, determining the time of death, or what tools of the trade are used to crack you open.
Check out the Brainstuff channel on YouTube. And for more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.